Hey everyone, it's the Tex Winter Fan Club. Thanks for tuning in. Apologies, I haven't made an episode in a long time. Been meaning to, but I wanted to make a 2018 NBA draft reaction, but I wanted to wait a little bit. Didn't want it to be classified as a take, and wanted to keep on marinating and thinking about it. And really what I've been thinking about is the cyclical copycat nature of sports, and also especially as it pertains to the old cliche of what's old is new again. And this started when the Suns pretty much appeared to guarantee to lock in on DeAndre Ayton as the number one pick. And I heard numerous either pundits, journalists, analysts, whatever you want the title they have, respectable voices as well in basketball saying, well, if it's all about, you know, small ball and positionless basketball and big guys are getting played off the court, why would I want to draft a center, a big man? And I kept on thinking about that, and I think that there's a narrative that I really think is missing with the general discussion of, you know, the small ball or, you know, positionless basketball. Going from the most basic factor about why, obviously, drafting a talented big man is still valuable is basketball is the only major sport where the goal is above ground level. It's 10 feet above ground. It's where the rim is. So as long as the rim of basketball is 10 feet in the air, size will always be a premium. That's never going to change, which is why obviously teams and keep on flocking to talented big men because of their abilities and their ability to convert a high percentage of shots closer to the basket. So cool. We get that. However, illegal defense is gone. The Warriors are shooting and the Rockets are shooting, you know, 83s a game. Why would you draft a center anymore, even if he could potentially shoot a three? And, you know, you read these stories of, like, Marc Gasol a couple years ago, and now he's going to start shooting threes. Dwight Howard even said he was going to start shooting threes. I mean, not everyone needs to be able to shoot a three-pointer. However, this is where I believe that the positionless and small ball is kind of getting lost in the sauce or lost in translation, and I think it's been a disservice to the basketball public. And this is what I mean. Size on the court will always matter. When they say like positionless basketball or small ball, they don't mean they don't want 7-footers. What they mean is they don't want these like post brutes, you know, who like trudge up and down the court, very slow feet, can't defend in space. If anything, having a big man with an offensive game to the 3-point line is not as important as having a big man on the defensive side who can actually switch or most importantly, defend in space. So when he came with DeAndre Ayton being the number one pick, he was drafted. He says, I know what my bread and butter is. I know what I'm good at. It's in the post. And that was refreshing for me because with the analytics in basketball, especially tracking points per possession, and you have like the mid-range is frowned upon as well as a post-up because the post-up has the back to the basket has the lowest expected points per possession. I also wonder if when that stat really started to take place and then, you know, the athletic wing player became the more focal point and in grassroots basketball became more of a fast break style versus a banking down low. I want the quality of the post player, I believe, when points per possession has been tracked in the more recent era of basketball. Of course, I would expect that personally to be lower because I don't think the post technicality of these players are actually as good anymore. So I think if you're a post defender now, I mean, a post play is a physical play. It's hard. It's not rewarding. It's a thankless job. However, the closer you are to the basket, obviously, the higher percentage of the shot. So I think that it's easier, obviously, to not being able to defend the post as well now because guys don't really know – sorry, post players don't know the counters or all the advanced moves that the former big men did. For example, Hakeem Olajuwon always said he was always thinking of the next move when he had the ball. He was never thinking what he was going to do in the moment. There was always a counter. There was always a plan. I don't think that exists anymore. So for me personally, it was refreshing to hear DeAndre Ayton say, I know what I'm good at, and that's going to be in the post. Because I personally believe there's still extreme value of being having a prominent post player. For example, even if scoring out of the post is less and less common, facilitating out of the post has actually increased. So if DeAndre Ayton is converting over 60% or around 60% on, you know, while posting up or in the paint, that means defenders will have to cheat him more and give up more perimeter spacing to the perimeter player. Obviously, a kickout can result in a less contested three-pointer, and we all know how the NBA values three-pointers right now. But that also leads me to concerns about teams emulating the Rockets and the Warriors, because there will never be another Rockets and the Warriors. You can't play the way the Golden State Warriors play. The Golden State Warriors didn't even plan on having the system or the team they had. I mean, Steph Curry had to have glass ankles for a cheap extension. A lot of teams, every team passed on Draymond Green. Half the league almost passed on Klay Thompson. And then the weird salary cap spike in 16 allowed Kevin Durant. But the system itself, it wasn't born out of, I mean, let's not forget, Mark Jackson was the coach of the Warriors for 3 years before Steve Kerr joined. And his last year, they won over 50 games, but it was an ISO-heavy, lethargic, and unoriginal offense. So it took the vision of Steve Kerr combining, you know, some elements of Mike D'Antoni and Greg Popovich and the triangle with Phil Jackson to create the Golden State system and having those players execute it. So when people are saying, oh, we're trying to, you know, beat the Warriors, we're trying to become the, you know, the next Warriors, like you have the Hawks drafting Trae Young and from Oklahoma and Kevin Huerter out of Maryland, like that's our Steph, that's our Clay. Well, that's great, but you're never going to have you don't have the guys or the infrastructure really in place. What they're really aiming for is just a spread pick and roll system. And that's very, very common. And frankly, it's beatable. It's very beatable. So when I was watching the draft, it made me hopeful, especially with Bagley number two, and then Jaren Jackson at four and Mo Bamba at five, of what's old can be new again, in the sense of this. When you're watching the playoffs, and they said, you know, all these big men were drafted in the top seven, eight picks, but they highlighted, oh, like Al Horford played off the floor in the playoffs, Joel Embiid played off the floor in the playoffs. Well, that's not necessarily true. I mean, an indicator of something that happens in the playoffs isn't necessarily indicative of a whole regular season, or is it not indicative of the fact that it will occur again in the following playoffs? And one thing I was really alarmed with while watching defense in the playoffs is how switches were occurring without any fighting by the defender. It was just automatic switching, no fighting over the top, just giving your other man to your teammate, giving your man to your teammate, excuse me. And this is where I think the post play, and this is where I'm tying it full circle and now in, of what's old can be new again. So if the Suns are playing any team in the NBA, and there's a lethargic switch occurring, where DeAndre Ayton, who is 7'1 with a 7'5 wingspan, is on a 6'3 guard, and he says his bread and butter is in the post. Well, you're damn right he's going to go in the post, especially if he continues to work on actually his post skills and counter moves, because you have a guy that has no business being there on a switch because they weren't trying. So now I have an automatic mismatch. The defense is cheating. He can now facilitate, or he can just do a quick attack one-on-one and get to the rim. So when I say what's old is new again, counters are going to have to occur to the trend we're seeing now. So if you're seeing really easy switches and size emphasized less, well, what do you need to do? You need to punish the fact that they're switching. How do you do it? A team needs proficient players closer to the basket with ability to pass, as well as counter moves to make their opponent pay for the fact that they're not respecting the size or the presence inside. Yes, I understand you have to shoot 66% from two to match a team that shoots 33%. I totally get that. However, a shot 25 to 30 feet is way less likely to go in, obviously, than one from 0 to 8 feet. And when DeAndre Ayton says his bread and butter is in the post, it doesn't have to be only back to the basket moves. If he can defend 1 through 5, his offensive game doesn't have to stretch to the three-point line. All he really needs to do is have an elbow jumper. If you can facilitate in the high and the low post in that area and defend in space, that's all you need to do. And I know that I'm a little biased in the sense that I love the 90s and I love the trying. And obviously the podcast name is the Tex Winter Fan Club, and I love post play. And obviously in the triangle post, that mean the first pass, the primary, you know, N2 entry pass was to the man on the, you know, to, on the line of deployment to the low post. I totally get that. However, when I can't help but think that the best way to counter this trend we're seeing of switches without even a modicum of fighting by the defense is just to go down low. And what's going to happen when the teams are going down low? Okay, now we're going to put a big guy in. Now we're going to have to increase more size. So if anything, I think that this is a very unique era we're in. I mean, no one's going to stop the Warriors. The Warriors will do what the Warriors are going to do. And the only thing that will really stop them is attrition, fatigue, injury, which I don't wish injury upon anyone. The money or the salary cap or contract or issue arises. But until then, this is the Warriors era. We're going to have to sit through it and appreciate its greatness. And, you know, sometimes when they really play that team basketball, it's a beautiful thing to watch. Obviously, they emphasize the past, but they do go through points and periods of time where it's, some ISO heavy, as well as some quick three-point shooting that's really not, the team system. But it really depends on the transition and other situations on the court. So when I see teams say this is how we counter the Warriors aren't forever. That's not going to be the case. Next year, sure. 2 years, likely. But 3 years and later, no, it's not guaranteed. And it's likely not going to happen. So how do you set yourself up for the post-Warriors era? Because we have a lot of guys now that are saying they need to shoot threes, that are big men, but don't have any game inside or besides that. Now, one thing where I'll admit is a necessity in the modern game, and I can't really see ever changing now, is guards guards need to be able to shoot, point blank period. I really can't envision another time where a point guard or a one or a two is a sub like 33% 3-point shooter. That really can't happen anymore, just because of, if you already have a big guy that's not going to go to the 3-point line, you can't really have two defenders be cheating, especially due to the spacing constraints that it causes. So, well, guards, I feel like always need to be able to shoot now at a respectable clip from three. Absolutely. Do I think that every 7-foot player has to be a unicorn that can, block shots at the rim, switch 1 through 5, and have a 30-foot jumper? Absolutely not. That's just not the case. I really believe that what's old is going to be new again. Now, it's not going to be the bully ball of, 12-second, Mark Jackson-esque posts up and everyone just watching, having it be a one-on-one on the post and the 8 other players watching on the court. I don't believe that's ever going to happen again as well. However, what I believe is that low post play will once again matter, and most importantly, and as a someone that loves post play, I want to see, I think advanced post players will also reemerge, because right now we're seeing a lot of rudimentary post play. It's really just hooks over, it's just baby hooks or some running hooks over each shoulder, as well as, maybe you see a couple shimmies or some fadeaway jumpers on both sides, but the footwork really majesty that you saw from the likes of Hakeem, for example, it was absolutely just beautiful watching him maneuver in the post. I think you'll see that reemerge. Obviously not the next year or two, but I think a couple years after that, where teams will realize that we don't need our big men shooting. We don't need 5 out. It doesn't need to be a pickup game every single, or it doesn't have to be constructed like that. Is it nice if he can occasionally, the big man, go out and shoot a three? Absolutely. There's nothing wrong with that, especially since 3 is more than 2. I mean, that's totally obvious. I'm not denying the fact that having a big man that can shoot threes is advantageous. However, when I say what's old is new again, is eventually the reign and the period of basketball we're in is going to shift. And the best way to counter this shift we're seeing is to go back low on the block. I know it's thankless. I know it's tough. I know it's physical. And it's hard. However, the benefit it can give a team to emerging out of the post-Warriors era that is going to happen eventually, the rewards can be great for them. So if you guys have an opinion on what I'm saying, just feel free to leave me a message, hit me up, give me a comment. I definitely am planning on making more of these notes. Don't have a draft reaction yet. It's still summer league. I'll may have some observations, but I really want to get these thoughts out in regards to, the state of basketball, where, the buzzwords of position list and small ball, because I think those are misleading. I think that's also hurting the basketball fan. And I think it's also not true of where the future state of the game is going to go. So thanks everyone for tuning in. I appreciate it. Hope you guys have a great day or night, wherever you are. Bye.
The podcast you just heard was published with Anchor. Got something you want to say to the creator of this show? Send them a voice message using the Anchor app, free for iOS and Android.